All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily fantasy football podcast. That's Tuesday, August 23rd. This is our very first NFL podcast. Very excited to get this ball rolling as we get into the NFL season. I am here with
James Davis.
There he is. And we're going to talk to you a little bit, you know, just kind of get the ball rolling on NFL now. We're still a couple weeks away from actually when we really get into the thick of it, but you know, every couple days we'll be jumping on the podcast here just to talk about some things that are creeping up into our consciousness for NFL, how we get prepared for the season, some strategies we can employ for daily fantasy contests, whether this is your first year of daily fantasy on FanDuel and DraftKings for NFL or you're a seasoned vet. We want to be able to cover everything for everybody. So we'll be jumping on a couple times during, you know, the week leading up to the NFL and then more in earnest once the NFL season starts, as there really is stuff to talk about just about every day for NFL, even though the games get played only 3 out of the 7 days. James, talk to me a little bit. We have some exciting stuff on the site that just went up this week in terms of our NFL product. Why don't you walk me through, pretend like I don't know. Like pretend I'm just your random person that
you
just
do
doesn't
know.
I do know, so it's going to be confusing for you. I do know about it, but I need you to pretend like I don't know about what some of the stuff that we put up on our site for NFL this year.
Hey, Doug, do you play daily fantasy sports?
I want to.
Yeah, I actually own a site all by myself called dailyfantasysportsrankings.com.
No business partner or partners or anything like that?
Yeah, some people who do some stuff around the edges that also have some equity.
Gotcha.
But it's my thing mostly. Like I'm doing it most of the time, and they chip in from time to time. And I've got this site, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com, and we just introduced a new tool called the Player Lab, and it's pretty interesting because so daily fantasy football is a sport that garners tons of attention each year for its fun and. All right, I can't do this anymore.
That's right.
Forever we've had our normal lineup optimizer, which allows you just to go over, click the calculate button, and generate a lineup normally for cash game use. And we've always had a couple of filters to let people, you know, stack players from a given team or exclude certain teams or, you know, lock in certain players and so on. But we recently rolled out a much more robust tool that we're calling the Player Lab. It was built by one of our partners, Blake, from lineuplab.com, who's now co-owner and partner at dfsr.com. And it's, in short, it's just the most comprehensive research tool we've ever put out there. What it allows people to do is go in and not just include and exclude players and sort by slates and so on, but also lets them do a deep dive on the stats they think are important for the type of contest they're playing on a given day. So if you're looking to build a great cash game lineup, for instance, you can actually go position by position and place different priorities on the stats that you want to prioritize for that week. So at the quarterback position, you might want to prioritize a high completion percentage, you know, a team in a game with a high over-under, a guy who is up against a poor pass defense, and so on. On the running back position, we have some of our own stats that we've generated, like a load percentage, which is the amount percentage of a team's carries a player gets. We have good upside statistics, like high touch trends, so a guy who's getting more touches than he has in the past. We have breakout things, like, you know, guys who are on the field for more snaps than usual. There's just a ton of filters across every single position. On wide receiver, we've got all sorts of different trends about targets. We have our own cornerback rankings, so you can pick out wide receivers against cornerbacks of different talent levels and so on. So really, really exciting. So basically what it allows you to do is go as deep or as shallow as you want. You can still show up and just press calculate and get a lineup and go plug it in, but it also allows you to essentially pick and choose almost any statistic that you would really want and filter out your player pool by that. So really, really, really excited.
And that's what we spent a lot of the offseason doing, was just sitting down and talking just a lot about what are the very most important things we think and have used to make NFL lineups in the past, right? And how do we, because these are, a lot of these things are pieces of our data points that we had, you know, we had been always considering and putting in and factoring into our projections, which were wildly successful for NFL last season. And they're actually a combination of successful and contrarian, I thought. Contrarian to the point where I was, because we chose to start modeling a little differently for NFL last year. Not completely differently, but we picked some new data points that we hadn't used in the past and we put them in there. And some of our lineups were so contrarian to the point where I almost didn't trust it, really, sometimes. I mean, I trusted it in the sense that I thought that the numbers made sense, but they were so wildly divergent from what some industry standard plays that I almost had to be results oriented on them before I was able to fully say, okay, no, we have these are correct, right? So we spent.
Yeah, well, this was a weekly conversation with us last year,
yeah.
And the really interesting thing about football is it's easily the most covered and talked about fantasy sport, and it's really not even close. But the data that people use is oftentimes from the same sources, and
right.
A lot of the data that actually is really, really relevant isn't the data that's actively talked about, right? So they'll be like, Derek Carr had a 141 quarterback rating. Okay, well, maybe that matters for real-life sports, but from a fantasy sports perspective, it doesn't really move the needle that much, right? And particularly at the wide receiver position, that's, I think, where we wound up having a really breakout season last year.
Yeah.
And again, that's analyzing cornerback performance. Very, very hard to do. Most people can name a handful of one-off elite top-tier shutdown cornerbacks, have a really hard time going deeper than that, like forget about the cornerback two on the Broncos or whatever. So we're using more advanced data feeds this year to handle all of that stuff. Snaps are another one, I remember Roto World would have great articles where they talked about guys being on the field for how many snaps in a given game. This was super useful at the wide receiver position, mm-hmm. for instance. I remember we sussed out Marques Wilson before the industry based on data like that last year. The problem is that until now, snaps were not something you could even sort by on any table on the internet.
So right.
I assume that people will be able to do that this year on other sites as well. But that's really what the player lab brings to the table is the relevant stats for DFS specific, not for season long, not for just checking out how your team's going to do this week. Just for a given week of daily fantasy football, painting a crystal clear picture,
And this is where we've always been, I think, I've always personally been proud of our process when it comes to the NFL and NBA, really every sport, is that I'm not going to even speak for other outfits because I don't know what their process is like, so I'm not even going to say people do or do not do this thing, but I just know what we do. And what we spend a lot of time doing is basically, we have all of our inputs, but then there's just some things that, simple data cannot tell you, especially when it comes to, target trends if there's an injury to a player, right? Like, how, yep. How do you properly factor that in? There's those little things along the edges that I think we just do really well. And I think that this marries a lot of what we were already doing and just, what you said, like more robust data pieces that we just didn't have yep. total access to in the past. I'm very, very excited about where this is going. And I just think that we have just about as good of a thing in the whole industry when it comes to this.
Absolutely. And red zone opportunity is another huge
yep.
one. Another thing that's sort of covered or nodded to throughout the industry, and it's talked about in articles all over the place, but again, a very, very tricky thing to model around because not only you have to know what happened, but, we've talked about this on the baseball podcast a lot, where a human touch is often needed around the edges, right? Around injury concerns in mm-hmm. particular. Well, in football, you have injury concerns, but you have this rapidly changing opportunity problem where even slight injuries, like we saw this with Calvin Johnson, for instance,
right.
when Calvin Johnson started, having these injury concerns prop up, the Lions would use him as a decoy in some games, right? They would scratch him at the last second. And so the industry question around that time was, well, what does this mean for Golden Tate? What does it mean for Eric Ebron? What does it mean for all these other sort of guys that may or may not do something? And so I think the real power of our football season is super solid bedrock foundation
yep.
of statistics that are going to sort of inform a guy's weekly projection, very good at figuring out how good a given system is. And then from there, figuring out what it really means when Adrian Peterson's going to be out and Matt Asiata is going to get the carries, figuring it out, sure, Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard split red zone touches last year, but Giovanni Bernard got almost no touches inside the 5-yard line, So Jeremy Hill, of course, 11 touchdowns last season in spite of only breaking one 20-yard run or more. Just a lot of little stuff going on. Very, very hard for the casual fan, even when he's diving in and really, really motivated to be very good at fantasy football. Just bringing your season-long stuff into the daily arena just doesn't cut it, because in season-long fantasy, if Adrian Peterson's on your team, you play him no matter what. In daily fantasy, Adrian Peterson can be on your team every week, And that's what makes it such a higher skill game, picking when is a good time to play them, when isn't.
And that's where it requires that you, like you said, it requires a very, very deep dive on just about every player. And getting down to that player level for every guy is also just not something that the casual man or woman that's following DFS football has time to do, right? Like you just don't, and especially maybe even have the deeper, you have the, maybe even have the time, right? You have the time to read it all, but you don't have it put into a system that allows you to see what the final outputs of like their weighted mean projections are, right? You just need that. You need these things. You can, you know, understanding that so-and-so is going to play over, you know, Peterson or whatever doesn't mean anything in a vacuum. Like knowing that everyone knows that information, right? Like everyone knows if a guy's playing or not. That's, well, and actually we're going to get into the injury information piece in a second here, but everyone has that baseline information. What you need to have is the other information that factors in to the whole entire projection. That's where I think we've just done a good job. I'm not a big back patter. Well, I am, but okay, let me say this.
Not publicly. You're not.
No, I don't think I am. I don't think I am publicly at all, really. I do it if asked, right? Like, so like in our chat room, people will say, you know, how did this do? And I'll say, I think I'm honest. I say, this is doing well. This is not. We changed this. We didn't change that. Like, I think that I will say from a process standpoint, I think we're about as open as anyone in the industry about how we go about our process and what, you know, what we do to make our projections and owning the things that go right and owning the things that go wrong also. And
yeah, I think it's, I mean, for us, we've always been very grateful and happy when people will point out, hey, this thing didn't work out, you know, like, and we're like, oh, yeah, he's right. We happen to high on this guy, you know?
Right.
I mean, you talked about when the whole industry is on a guy and, you know, needing the deeper dive. I think that's absolutely correct. I think that in addition to that, I mean, sometimes the industry is going to be correct, right? Like Todd Gurley last year goes from a week one where he's essentially not, where he's essentially not involved in the offense hardly at all. Then he comes out, I think it was against Arizona, has his big breakout game. And all of a sudden, he's still priced like the guy who was getting 6 carries a game instead of the guy who's now getting 20. So sometimes the chalk play is just going to be correct, and you're going to plug it in and be happy with it. And oftentimes in 50-50 contests, for instance, and double-ups, people are going to be fairly on. You know, like a lot of sites are going to have similar recommendations at quarterback, for instance. But for big tournaments, like the big tournaments in football are big, big, big tournaments. Like you're not going to cash in one of these big tournaments by just running out all the chalk lineups. And so I really do think that's an advantage of the Player Lab as well, allowing you to get in there and see you know, what are some, I need some running backs or wide receivers who meet some very, very specific qualifications. You know, I need some guy under $5,000 who might see 10 targets this week. And when you're trying to do research like that, really hard to just pull up an ESPN table and sort by targets or sort by receptions or whatever.
No, I would say that's like close to worthless. Yeah, it's close to worthless once you're in the throw of things, right? Like it's not worthless. Yeah. Like you can see, but it's only matters for the guys that have actually played. Like it doesn't matter for anybody else. And so yeah, I'm really, really excited about what we have going here. I want to bring up one thing about injuries. This is something that came up other.
So this is going to be the news and notes section. News and notes.
Right.
That's our news and notes drop.
Great. Nice. Perfect. So NFL comes out, I think, yesterday or on Sunday and says that they are doing away with the probable tag for players in terms of, you know, there was probable, questionable, doubtful, out. Those are the four things. Out we can, you know, just ignore because out is out, so not playing. But so those four, the P, Q, and D, were the three tags. Now, NFL comes out the other day and says we are no longer going to have the probable tag because the reasoning behind it was something like 95% of players that were probable played. So that's close enough to 100% that the probable tag is worthless. And I think if I'm remembering correctly, the questionable tag needed to have, like, a team's questionable players had to play something like 50% of the time. So, you know, 50% of your questionables had to play or not play for that to be, for the league to feel like you were being honest about whether a player was actually questionable or not. And then I don't remember the doubtful numbers, but it was something like 90% of the time had to not play or something.
Maybe it's 25% chance to play.
25 for doubtful? Okay. Oh, yeah, right. Because it was supposed to be 25. It was supposed to be 25% for probable also. But it was way higher than the marker. So instead of just holding teams to a, so it's funny, instead of holding teams to a more accurate thing on the number that they had come up with originally, which was to say, hey, make sure that 75%-ish of your guys are probable, they do away the tag altogether. Now, It's the law of unintended consequences. I get what the league is trying to do by eliminating it, by saying it's worthless. But what was your initial reaction to, I know what mine was, what was your initial reaction to when you saw that this the probable tag is no longer going to be attached to a player?
Well, I think you were the one, you got to hear my reaction because you told me on the phone, because I hadn't seen the news yet, and I was sick over it. I mean, this is really a really, really big problem, at least from forecasting for a daily fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
Because not only are we talking about the player in question, I mean, oftentimes players with injury concerns in football, you know, you can kind of avoid them in many cases. I mean, depending on the player, obviously. But, you know, we talked about Calvin Johnson as a guy who was in the probable or questionable camp each week, but it kind of didn't matter because it was obvious that his usage case was going to be DK or something less than, you know, Calvin Johnson in capital letters or however you want to say it. But then there's guys like Tom Brady who were probable every single week.
Right.
And so, well, yeah, you had to have that contextual information, and maybe you had an edge as a DFS expert if you knew that. Like, maybe there are casual players out there who look at it and say, oh, Tom Brady only probable. I guess I'm not going to play him this week, you know. But it's actually a big problem because decreasing the clarity around injuries is going to serve to put us in the daily fantasy world in a very, very difficult arena. We compare this to baseball and basketball where players are frequently getting scratched in the last hour or so leading up to game lock. Now, in baseball and basketball, it's fairly obvious what the player's opportunity is going to be when they're plugged in, you know, for an existing player. I mean, basketball a little bit more ambiguous, but like in baseball, if you are, you know, Miguel Cabrera is going to sit and you're going to play first base for Detroit and bat eighth, well, we know exactly what your opportunity is and we have a decent, you know, baseline skill level expectation for you. In football, it's a lot trickier. Like the wide receiver two is maybe going to play, maybe he's not. Now, if we know he's questionable on Wednesday, we can do a deep dive into research on who is going to slot into that role. With 45 minutes to go leading up until lock on Sunday, it's going to be a lot tougher.
It's
basically just going to make us have to do, you know, put in place a whole tree of contingencies. It's going to be, basically, it makes it harder for the casual player is what it does.
It really, really, it makes it close to impossible, I'd say. So the couple things that I see as big problems, right? One is Thursday night games are going to be next to impossible to set lineups on because because I think a team is now, right, like I said, motivated to just simply label every player questionable and just have it end up be 50-50 by the end of the year, right? Like, if you just label all of your probables, questionables, and doubtfuls questionable, it just stands to reason that you're likely to just hit around that 50% mark over the course of the year. And I think that smart teams will just end up doing something like that. Like, you know, like I fret to see how many questionables the Patriots are going to have on a given week because you're just not going to know. You're going to be able to make some guesses. So you're going to get to Thursday, and if you have, I don't know, 30% of the player field is questionable, like 30% of the relevant player field is questionable, that's a really big problem. And I just don't even know how. I mean, it's not a problem for DraftKings necessarily if you're not rostering anyone on the Thursday game because you can late swap or, you know, although, you know, decisions like that tend to cascade. But FanDuel, I'm just confused about what you're even going to do. I guess I'm going to really need to see how it plays out in week one. And maybe I'm being too chicken little skies falling on this, but I think it's going to be a pretty big issue. And then to speak to your other point, my initial thought was, man, this is going to end up, our process now is going to end up being a lot like basketball. So our process in basketball is that we are, as lineups are coming in toward, you know, that 5 to 7 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time, where lineups tend to lock around 7, we are basically sitting with our projections, and some things we have automated in terms of, you know, player X isn't going to play, player Y steps in and has this usage and this minutes and whatever. And then some of that is done, you know, by us to, especially when there's like totally new situations, right? And which is what I think made our NBA projections awesome. You know, that's been right. our best sport by far. It's been our most profitable sport. It's been our best user feedback on it. So NBA for us was the best for those reasons. Now, to me, NFL strikes me as has become a lot more like NBA, where in the past, I think you could set lineups sort of like, you could spend Saturday night basically setting football lineups, I think, and feel pretty good coming out of Saturday night with what you were throwing out there, maybe with a decision or two here or there, right? With a questionable guy. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. I think it's like you said, I think we're going to have to sit there kind of up in the lineup block, or worse, after, because if the teams don't have to release their information until 90 minutes before, Well, now the 4 o'clock games are dusted too, because you're not going to get that information prior to 1 o'clock. So the teams aren't, there's no motivation for the team to release the information. They don't want their opponent to know what they're doing or who's playing. So I don't know. I'm really worried about it.
I mean, the injury, I think maybe a lot of people don't realize that the injury feed, as the NFL makes people put it out there, like, it's specifically there for gambling purposes.
Right.
This is a, you know, and it's funny because the NFL.com website.
Oh wait, well, real quick, you don't think that's to level the playing field for the opposing team to know what's happening as well? I mean,
no, it's not. it's specifically, I mean, NFL.com specifically cites it as a reason for quote unquote fantasy players. It's not for fantasy players. They've been doing this since before fantasy was nearly as relevant as it is today. No, because the thing in the past was that it doesn't really matter. Like, for the opposing teams, like, it's kind of none of the opposing team's business, right? Like, who's going to play and who isn't. Like, no other sport asks people to do that, right? Basketball, baseball, like, you don't have to tell the other team who's going to play, you know, 5 days in advance.
Right.
you show up and you submit a lineup before, like an hour before, but you don't, it's not so they can scheme around like Adrian Peterson sitting. No way. It's to set betting lines and to make sure that, you know, the sharp gamblers don't have an advantage from teams using inside information. I'm nearly certain of that. I guess, like, for me on the injury thing, I don't think I'm quite as negative on it as you are, because I do think, I mean, it's one thing it will have the intended consequence of doing is they're not going to just jam in. I mean, they might do this just to balance out their questionable things, because 50% is really a pretty wide range. So they might do this to balance out their range. If they just have a bunch of guys more in the doubtful camp, maybe they do just throw on some guys to muddy the waters a little bit. But my suspicion is that it will have the intended consequence of fully removing guys like Tom Brady from the injury report at all, and possibly, you know, make the labels actually a little bit more accurate, because in the past, probable has basically meant definite, right? And again, that's confusing for the average user, and questionable has meant probably will play, and then it was really in the doubtful range where you were starting to get more into the, mm-hmm. and doubtful often just meant out too. So I guess for me, I'm still in wait and see mode on it. I'm annoyed because it's different and change is hard. But I'm not a fan of change at all.
I hate change. I hate when things change. Well, you said it good here. You just said it. We knew what the labels were, and those were pretty set in stone-ish, right? And so
they were good for us, thankfully. I mean, but again, for the casual fans and for casual gamblers, it is. I imagine it probably was pretty confusing, especially when you first get into it.
I think what you're going to see too is maybe being a little more reliant on some beat writers that are following things that are happening in practice, if they're able to suss out their opinions on whether a player is what he's doing in practices, or getting, you know, quotes from a coach to figure out, try to, like, what is happening. I think that's sort of like in the NBA beat writer territory of those guys are insanely valuable in following them on Twitter and social media, because they have a good insight into what a team's plan is, or they're able to, I don't know, read what a coach means or read between the lines on some of those things. I think those guys have all of a sudden, and guys and girls, have all of a sudden become just a tick more valuable in terms of getting information from them earlier in the week. So I can see that becoming the case. This is going to be a case where I'm going to kind of need to see, like, this is a wait and see approach, right? I think we'll know pretty clearly by the first week of football, when we look with those first injury reports that come out, say, you know, Monday of the first week. And if it's just, if it's just every player is on there, then it's time to probably worry. If it looks just normal and reasonable, and you can infer information from it, then I guess I'll be less worried. But I'm taking a wait and see approach till I go into total panic mode. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I think I'm already typing a reminder to myself right now for a content piece of analyzing the new state of the union on the injury report, because figuring that out quicker than the opponent is definitely going to be a market inefficiency.
And I have a piece going up today that just basically sums up my opinions that you just heard on the podcast about just the lack of clarity going in. So that'll go up on the site today. The other piece I have going up, if we switch off the injury news before we get out of here from our first podcast, is I have a piece going up today that basically takes our first optimal lineup and breaks it down in terms of, you know, are we as a system, are we at least passing the sniff test with three weeks out to go? Before, you know, I wouldn't take this line. I'm clear to say I would not take this first lineup and just plug it in and then just you know, check back in Sunday at 1:05
and just, no, probably not.
And just be like, oh man, I wonder how this thing rolls. But I did take a look at some of the players that are showing up high in the system, and I got to say, I'm pretty encouraged by how. I mean, I should be encouraged, right? This is our system and it should make sense to me. But I don't know. There's always little pieces of information that we want to evaluate. There's opportunity we want to evaluate. There are, you know, opponents and things like that. And we have guys that I feel pretty good about, like Russell Wilson coming up in there early as a guy that we're going to probably want to take a hard look. You've heard of him. That's good. So he's up there. Some of the running backs with newish opportunities, like Lamar Miller, are showing up, I find him interesting. We'll get into this a little bit more in our next podcast as we go through the pricing. But yeah, I'm encouraged by where some of it's going. But I also know that I'm going to need to probably start taking a little closer look at some of how we have our defensive special teams calculating, because the Saints were coming in there at one point and they're playing in the highest over-under game. So this is something we'll get into a little bit next time. I have a piece going up later that breaks down each of these guys, but I'm really encouraged by what I'm seeing just from the initial run of our optimal lineups.
Yeah, and to give people a clearer picture on what we're going to be doing before we actually have DFS football to talk about, obviously, like, you know, again, season-long podcasts are going to be talking a lot about your draft strategy and not drafting any running backs and, like, how to find a sleeper wide receiver or whatever. We're not going to be doing a ton of that. I think, you know, we talked about for a lot of the podcasts leading into where we actually have games to talk about, doing more of like a DFSR university thing where we'll break down, you know, I think position by position, let people know the things they should be aware of and just start getting your mind in the role of DFS football, because I think there's a huge overlap between people who play season-long NFL and daily, but the strategies employed in both are actually really, really, really different. And in the next week or two, I hope to, you know, bring to light a lot of the stuff that's in our free NFL ebook.
Oh, right.
And even deeper stuff that that we've prepared going into this season. So if you want to peek in our minds a little bit and know how we're going to approach week one and beyond, definitely tune in for the next couple weeks, and it should be really enlightening.
Yeah, and head over. The ebook will be up posted, should be posted later on today, which is, you know, 12 to 15 page sort of mini look, in the sense that it's not a full 100 page book, but much longer than any content piece we put out, that really does outline the basic strategies. And I think it's a good, I mean, I went back and read it yesterday, and it's just always, for me, even a good refresher on the things I just need to get my brain working around heading into the season. And so even if you've been playing DFS for a while and feel, I mean, a lot of people jump into our chat room and say, you know, they can't wait for football, this is my best sport. I get why people think that, because NFL is by far the most public sport there is. It's the easiest to understand. Like, if you follow the NFL, unlike baseball or basketball, if you follow the NFL, you just know all the players, right? You do a season-long league, and you do some DFS, and you've just heard of every guy. And so right from that point, fans feel more comfortable with football, because there's no Gary Sanchez that got called up by the Yankees and he'll hit six home runs, and you're like, who the hell is this guy, right? I mean, if you don't follow baseball. Yeah. I mean, we know who that is, but the casual fan.
Sanchez.
Yeah, right. The casual fan, a different podcast. The casual fan is just not going to know who that guy is. Same with basketball, where guys just kind of materialize out of nowhere. Like Thomas Robinson had 60 fantasy points. What the hell? Where did this guy come from, right?
right?
That just doesn't happen in football right now. But the problem with that is everyone knows all the information. And so when everyone knows all the information, well, then how can you become profitable? I think that our ebook does a good job of laying a baseline of knowledge out for something like that. And then, like I said, you combine that with some of the statistical pieces that we're bringing to it, and you just increase your probabilities significantly beyond just the casual guy who got his friends into the DraftKings league, took their season long in the DraftKings, and I was like, oh, I got my money.
Yeah, literally today, a friend on Facebook posted, New York is accepting FanDuel and DraftKings. Can't wait.
Right, exactly. So, like, there's just a lot of casual people in there. So lay a good baseline of knowledge down for yourself. Free ebook.
24 pages, by the way. It's much longer than our other ones. I'm just dripping with DFS gold. I think we'll break that down in audio format. I think we can go longer form on a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
Because on DFS, you can actually go... You can go as long form as you want on essentially every topic, especially when it comes to football, because, like you mentioned, the information war is real. The big money players have a ton of information they're using.
Yep.
And I mean, Player Lab is going to help bridge a gap between the experts and the casual players. But I think this podcast series is going to be a really nice introduction into just how you should be breaking down. Because in football, you have a whole week, right? You don't need to just do this the hour before lineup lock. You have a whole week, and you're researching it anyway for your stupid waiver wire claims or whatever that you're doing in your season long league. So, let's just get good at it, you know, because it's 16 weeks. It's easily the sport that has the most dead money in it, the most casual fans. It's the most beatable sport. There's a lot of variance, but using the right tools, the right info, the right strategies, we can have a really, really solid and profitable football season. So
you couldn't have said any better than
that. Can you tell I'm pumped, dude? I'm pumped.
You're pumped. You said it great. Free 2-week trial to the Player Lab and projections we were talking about before gets you all the way to that first week of NFL. Head over to DFSR.com. Grab that free
/lab.
Grab the free 2-week trial. You'll be good to go and jump into our chat room. You know, jump on to talk with some of the guys and girls that are talking baseball and football in there every single day. And you should be all good to go for DFS. Buddy, I'm going to talk to you in a couple days. We'll break down some more of what we can start thinking about for week 1.
Can't wait, man. Let's do it.